freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Well, welcome into another podcast. It's confusing, though, what's happening. Brock's here, Kyle's here, and Howdy's here, but he's not supposed to be, and I'm concerned. So here at Bonneville CL, that's our parent company, there was a decision made this week with the coronavirus fears to see what it was like to close the office for non-essential employees. There's your favorite ESPN term, Brock. We sent all the non-essentials home. So the sales staff went home, accounting went
home. Don't
need them. Now, they're working from home. They're using Microsoft Teams and other stuff. That program, I think, is the biggest winner of the coronavirus thing here. But, you know, they're working great from home. So we sent all the non-essentials home. Now, most of programming had to stay. All the on-air folks, right, because they're delivering the news, et cetera, the producer, they all stayed. Here's the thing. Howdy's non-essential.
What do you mean?
In his full-time job here as the imaging director and everything else he does, he's non-essential. The moment this podcast starts, here he is on my left side, won't leave.
Oh, poor Mike.
How did you even get here today?
Don't you know how essential I am?
No.
I saw that phrase, non-essential, and I knew that email had nothing to do with me. I immediately deleted it.
That's why it came in yesterday.
Right. I can't believe you're here.
They obviously need me.
Is it that, or is it because you're too cheap to install Microsoft Teams on your computer? It's probably a little bit of both. So, all right, we are here. Hopefully everyone is enjoying their easy drive to work. I went 60 miles an hour over the Ship Canal Bridge this morning, which was great. It's probably not great for, like, radio, but other than that, it's been nice driving around the city here for the last couple of days. We'll wait and see what happens, and we'll talk a little bit about what the Mariners may do here a little bit
later.
So
this is what life was like before Amazon. That's what I'm thinking. As I'm driving over 520, I'm like, oh, these are all the Amazon folks that are working at home, basically.
Yeah, but it's like without Amazon and Microsoft and Boeing.
That's like what it was like when the loggers were, like, pioneering out here.
Yeah, the Denny
The glory
party.
Days of Ballard.
Yeah, exactly.
When there was only horse-drawn carts going down the freeway.
Scandinavian fishermen kicking cans down the road.
Logs rolling down
the
hill.
Bored. Where are the salmon?
What a world. All right. We are, what, 5 days away or so from the start of free agency, Brock?
Can it just get here?
At least the legal,
oh my
the legal tampering period
what
is
do you
coming.
Do if you have a radio show every day? Can we just get to the free agency beginning?
Okay.
By the way.
Take it easy over there, Huard.
All right.
The reason we're not on film this week is that Taylor's a non-essential employee. And so he didn't come in to film us. So
Right. Normally
we'd be filming this because we've been having this whole video version, but not this week. The video version is apparently non-essential. So we'll come back to that. I will say, more excited for free agency than I've been in years. Seriously. Every year we have the same conversation about free agency. Don't worry. Don't hate. Have patience. We find, like, Guns N' Roses patience, and we sing all the songs about patience, and we talk about, you know, not overdrafting your credit card debt. No, we do it every single year right around now, right? Hey, don't forget, everybody you bring in, you've got to let somebody go, and you've got to make tough choices. We talk about Paul Tsongas, right? This is our Paul Tsongas time.
Paul
Tsongas. He's talking about tough choices you have to make. Back in the 1992 Democratic primary in New Hampshire, right? I mean, this is our time of year, Brock. There he is.
Tsongas was trending a couple years ago on, like, this day that we talked about
Paul
him
Tsongas.
Here in Seattle.
Yes, RIP. Not this year. I'm not going any of that. None. No credit card limit conversation, no tough choices, no Paul Tsongas, no Guns N' Roses patience. Spend.
Yes,
let's go.
Baby, come on.
Spend Jody Woo! Allen's money.
Go.
Yeah.
Start spending, Brock. You've got everything is lined up for
Spajam?
You.
Spajam, not Paul Allen. Yes.
Sham.
Sham.
There's no P anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Sham.
It's like Icelandic.
Sham.
It's like those Norwegian fishermen.
People of fishermen.
Oh, it's a Ballard kind of day on the podcast.
They're ready. They have their depth. They spent, you know, they had all the draft picks last year, and I think they did a good job acquiring the depth that you need so that you're not sacrificing that. They've got draft picks in this year's draft. They've got a ton of them, so you don't have to worry about you giving away a pick or two in order to bring in a big-name player. You've got youth. You got all the young players that you like. Your quarterback is in his prime and getting another year older. It's time. Go big or go home. You haven't made an NFC championship since 2014. Go big or go home. Start spending. Now,
well, I think there's a couple things. I think number one, you can say that, unlike years past,
just did,
because you actually have a budget. Oh, you're so far outside the realm of what we've been in the past, and this is such a fun new progressive move. Well, it's simply for one reason, because you got money to do so. You didn't in the past. You had to sign Russell Wilson twice, right? You couldn't. You had to sign Bobby Wagner. You had to get your pieces all signed, Mike. So I would say further, you have an enormous advantage to take this turn. You've got your pieces signed. You've got your key superstars internally in place. And you have $40, $50, depending on Britt, KJ, $55 million to spend. You actually have a budget to go out there and do this. You've not had that in the past.
All right.
You've not had this kind of luxury. Even if you wanted to spend, I bet you looked over this 10-year run of these guys. Have they ever had more than $20 million in cap space? Right, when we went through this exercise every year, it was largely, be fiscally responsible.
Right.
Yeah, don't overspend. Don't put yourself in cap casualty. Don't be like others that build that thing.
Yeah, this is the first time since what? After the 2012 season when they signed Bennett and Avril?
Yeah.
They had some money that year, right? We were talking about Paul Kruger and others.
It certainly wasn't this amount of money. And it certainly wasn't this
flexibility. They had a roster full of guys that they knew within a year or two they were going to have to extend, and
correct.
Now you don't.
Nope. No, you don't have young guys right now, I think, other than maybe Chris Carson, but you know, he's been
Griffin.
So banged up. Yeah, Shaquille Griffin's probably on that list. You decided not to with Frank. You decided not to with Jaron. So here you go. You got $40, $50 million to play within your kitty. Yeah, and I think for the first time and sometime, you better be very, very active. Your quarterback said as much, right? Your quarterback said as much when the season ended. We need superstars.
Yep.
And where do superstars come from? That's not L.J. Collier. That's not Rasheem Green. Sorry, Dave Wyman. It's not those young guys that are going to grow maybe into good players.
It can be those guys.
But superstars in 2020? I don't think so. So where's
a superstar for this year?
That's right.
Agreed. Yeah, you may still find superstars in the draft, even late in the first or second round.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done that before. There's no reason you can't do it again. But to expect them to be superstars in year one, you know my feeling. I'm out on counting on rookies for anything.
Yep.
Anything they give you is nothing more than a bonus on that season. And sometimes they do. DK Metcalf had, what, nearly 1,000 yards this year. Sometimes they will surprise you, and that is a bonus for your season. But counting on them to do something? Forget about it. I don't count on rookies. Not anymore.
So
not
you,
since CJ Procise
so
and the rest of that group.
You want them.
Oh, they're going to be so good. Just wait. Group. You got CJ Procise. He's going to catch like 100 passes out of the back. Yeah, nope. Not counting on him ever again. Or anybody, any other rookie. You got to wait. You got to wait until they prove it before you start to count.
So is this first wave?
Yes. And second.
First
and third.
Boy,
let's go.
Ooh,
all the way through.
Wow. Hello. Like,
you need all of that. You need, as Russ, you're absolutely right. I quoted Russell with Tom, Jake, and Stacey yesterday. He's looking for superstars. He's looking for those star players to play with him.
Because we got to the end of last season.
Is he getting on the phone with people? Is he pulling a LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade? Does Russ have any juice to do that? Can he get on the phone with superstar free agents and recruits?
I think he absolutely has the juice, but I think the NFL is just a little different in that there's so many options out there.
Yeah.
An NBA team, there's 9 guys on a team.
Yeah, like, but could John use him
that
way?
This could have been such a great bit.
Oh, Russ on the phone.
We got a deal, baby.
all the guys just like, I don't know. I don't think I'm coming. Thanks.
Hey, Bulak. We got a deal.
Which Russ do you want? You want Russ selling? Like, which, you want one of his many?
I don't think this is a good idea. I think Schneider's a better salesman when it's all said and done.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
John shows up in his WWE belt being watching.
You want
Step
cliche?
Brothers.
You want cliche Russ on this call? Sales
no.
Russ? You want fast talking Russ? You want Russ at midnight in his bed after he got his deal, Russ?
I definitely don't want
Which
that.
Which Russ do you want making that phone call?
I don't want, like, fat off season in Mexico, Russ. I definitely don't want that. Won't one
that
of the...
one's living La Vida Loca, though. That is wonderful. Everybody's going to want to be a part of that.
No, I don't want that, Russ. I want sort of in shape, running around.
You want game day, Russ?
Game day, Russ.
Game day positive,
yes,
Russ?
Yes. I don't want, but not the game day one that Doug Baldwin had to yell at in Minnesota because his head was in the clouds or whatever. I don't want that, Russ. I need the one that you get like second half of the 2014 NFC Championship game, Russ.
Well, what
like,
do we
where's
know,
that guy?
What do we know about this Russ? Like the last 18 months, we've known from Jadeveon Clowney that this is the guy that he wants to play with, right? We have heard from how many different players internally and even some externally, Mike, that have said, yeah, I want to play with that dude. This is going to be the Russell, if this is the sales Russell, this is going to be the Russell this offseason where you're going to find him in the top 10 of the NFL's 100 players. For the first time in his career, he may be even top 5 this upcoming season. Like he's
is
got
that,
more
like due to attrition.
He's got more juice
Do you
than
think
he
that,
has
seriously,
ever had.
Is that attrition? And not based on his ability, but just based on perception. Has he like just lasted long enough that finally the rest of the country is catching on to the fact that he's that good because everybody else dropped out and they can't choose them anymore? Like they've run out of excuses in ways. Now Patrick Mahomes gets to leapfrog him and Lamar Jackson will probably leapfrog him also. But you know, it seems like some of it is just attrition.
Your greatest ability is your availability. And to do it again and again, like Marshawn used to say about running over fools. Mm. Again and again and again, this guy just shows up and he posts for 8 straight years and he continues to get better no matter what's around him. Oh, you got a great run game and you're going to be a complimentary piece. Great. I can do that. Oh, you've got to carry the team in 15. Yep, I can do that. Oh, you got a terrible defense the last 2 years. You can't score enough. No, we can score enough and I'll make people around me better and we'll win again for 8 straight years and we'll get to the second round of the playoffs again. And we never went through a rebuild and we never had to go 7-9 like Drew Brees or 7-9 like Ben Roethlisberger. Never did. Never went through that phase. And because of it, you're going to be probably, I would think, in the top 10 of that NFL top 100 player and maybe the top 5.
I realized over the last couple of days and sort of starting to think about free agency that I am frustrated. It's the first time I've really kind of stepped back and thought about it. You know, it's all the social distancing, Brock. I got a little space. Finally got the people away from me far enough that I could start really thinking the way I needed to think.
Right.
And I realized that I am frustrated. Like every year we get excited about the Seahawks, and for good reason. They've had at least pretty good team every single season. They make the playoffs every year but one, and even then it was only by a game, right? I mean, like they're always in it, so I'm not like mad or, you know, it's not like being in Cleveland and endlessly, you know, just stymied in your attempts to get to the – but I'm frustrated. I am frustrated, and I am worried that at some point Russell Wilson's prime will be behind him, and we'll be looking at each other going – the heck happened?
Yeah.
This thing started off so great. You had your first two great, you know, Super Bowl seasons. 2012 was a blast. And then after that, not that we didn't get our moments, not that we didn't have fun along the way, not that it wasn't, you know, but it wasn't everything. That we were denied an opportunity to watch this team go back and let Russell Wilson fulfill his destiny and get a chance to get over this god-awful moment that took place at the end of that Super Bowl. And I am feeling frustrated by it. Frustrated that they haven't gone for broke, and I understand why. There's no blame. I'm not angry. I'm not pointing fingers, but I am now frustrated. Like, let's go. Like, Russ is getting older. It's time. Go spend your money. Don't just look at it and do the right thing for the long term. Sometimes you've got to think short term as well. And now is that time. They're in like the exact opposite spot of the Mariners. I'm totally fine being patient with them right now. They're stepping back and doing what they need to do. And in a couple of years, right, I'll sit here with you, probably even this offseason, and say, okay, time to spend money. And a year or so after that, we'll say, all right, let's go. Now or never, like, you've got to add to this and find a way to get over the top and go through the playoffs. But right now, patience. And that's where I've been with the Seahawks the last few years. They were doing the right thing.
It's been the best decade they've ever had.
Absolutely.
As an organization and not even close.
Absolutely.
They are carrying on what they said from the beginning, which was this is not going to be a one-hit wonder. Right? This is going to be, we are going to sustain when others don't. When others peak and valley, and the Cardinals and the Rams and the Niners and everybody else in this division ebbs and flows.
But don't you have
we are
to going go to
be a
it?
Steadying force that isn't going to just be about winning one single year. We're going to be good every single year. We're going to give ourselves a chance every single year.
But their roster's not good enough for that right now. Their roster is, without Russell Wilson, mediocre. We talked about it a million times last year. They've got some depth now, which is good. I mean, they've got some of those things that you need to have in order to be successful. But if in order to go from good to great or back to good, go back to great from good, They need more.
They need what the quarterback said at the end of the year. They need superstars. You need superstars. So, now, this is a dangerous play that you're asking. Like, this is not a formula that's worked for
others. Is it that dangerous?
This is not a formula that's worked for others. People in this league typically don't spend their way in this first wave into championships. Right, most of the teams that we look back on and go, oh my gosh, look at that team that won March. Or we look back on in January and go, yeah, oh, I'm really glad you won March. I'm really glad you added, you know, those 10 to $15 million guys. And they better work, and they better be healthy, and they better be right.
But usually,
and they better be the absolute right fit.
Usually those teams don't have another component that you need. Either they don't have the right quarterback, or they don't have the right coach, or they don't have the right depth. Usually, and you know, if you kind of go through those super teams that get created in March, mm-hmm. they are missing one or two or three of those other major components. It's like, yeah, we put together a super team. Well, who's the coach? Well,
it's Ron Rivera.
Exactly.
We have this great defensive line that we spend tons of money on. They're all veterans. They're all stars. They're terrible. Ron Rivera is their coach.
We put it together. Unfortunately, it's Marvin Jones. It's not going to work. We've got Marvin Jones. But, yeah, they got all this great. Brock, we've seen that a million times. Mm-hmm. Or they put together all the guys at the top, and it comes at the expense of everybody at the bottom. A couple of players get hurt, and the next thing you know, that team doesn't have a shot. Or they put it all together for Ryan Tannehill, and you're like, well, no kidding. It didn't work. You had Ryan Tannehill. He turns out he's not very good.
There are teams that spend big and win. Last year it was the Chiefs. The year before that it was the Rams. The 2 years before that. Once you have what you're talking about, that baseline formula,
and they
you're ready to go.
The Seahawks have the quarterback, they have the coach, and they have the depth. They got the quarterback, they've got the coach, and they've got the depth. The next thing, and arguably the only other thing they need, are the stars to go with that group.
Okay, and you feel like there are stars in this free agency.
I don't know. That's on you to tell me. You and Howdy tell me there are.
No, that's on John Schneider and Pete Carroll. Like, do you believe these guys are stars? I was up in there chest bumping Ziggy Ansah. As I think a lot of people were excited when Ziggy was signed. Look at his numbers still, even the games that he played. This guy was a Pro Bowler, and this guy's a great player, and this guy's got every physical tool you want, and he was here, and he just, unfortunately, that shoulder and his body and his want to weren't there anymore, right? So is Ngakoue a guy that's going to come in here and play with his hair on fire, or is he going to be a guy that gets his $20 million, like, yep, I'm good. I'm glad I finally got mine. You know, I was former third-round pick. I haven't got mine. Now I got mine. Am I going to be as relentless in my pursuit? Jadeveon Clowney, who's climbed and climbed and climbed. I want my security, man. I want my $60 million in the bank. Give me my money. Would he play through a sports hernia, an elbow injury? Would he play through those things when he has $60 million in the bank? I mean, those are the questions. I can't answer them. None of us in this room can answer them. And John and Pete better be able to answer.
Oh, that's their job.
It is absolutely their job. You know, but that therein is, I think, some of the danger when it comes to free agency. Unlike the draft, where if I get 11 bites at the apple, okay, I'll get a DK Metcalf. Okay, I can find a Tyler Lockett. I can find a Frank Clark. I can find, obviously, and hit home runs early. And big reason why we won the Super Bowl, home run with Sherman and home run with Russ and home run with Bobby. And I can, you know, take some more swings at it. You spend on a couple big superstars here. Right, in wave number one especially, yeah. And Howdy, our capologist, will tell you that money starts to, and that budget starts to dissipate pretty quickly, right? I mean, what are you looking at right now? If you're going to spend in the first wave, right, do you think, and I've heard this conversation in our station, do you think it's realistic to sign both Clowney and Ngakoue?
No, just because the Ngakoue thing requires the trades, and I've sort of discounted him. If you wanted Ngakoue, I think you just sign Clowney.
Okay.
I just don't understand the point of giving up a first-round pick or whatever else to get a guy that is marginally better than what you've got, if at all.
Well, because capology-wise, you can do this. You could absolutely get both of them. You can move that money around.
Absolutely.
You can give them a big cash bonus. You can move it around in that first year, just like Frank Clark last year.
I'm not opposed to the idea of both. I don't like the idea of letting Clowney go but getting Ngakoue. That doesn't make sense to me. Sorry.
But I mean, if you want to go for it, your biggest need on this team, if
I'm
you
okay
want to
both.
Absolutely go
okay,
for it, the biggest play, you know, to start this podcast, so I'm frustrated. I want it to go time. Like, we are going to go for this thing.
All right, let's
and
go.
I think the biggest way is I look at all these free agent names. I don't see it at receiver. Kenyon Drake is nice. There's some decent O linemen. But if you really want to go for it and you want to address the biggest single need on this team, then you make sure you get Clowney done and you make this trade for Ngakoue, and now you've got two bookends that, at least on paper, right?
I'll do that.
Okay, I'm ready to roll.
Can I afford that?
You can.
Absolutely.
What do I have to do? What can I do after
so
that?
So if the trade and all the rumors recently about salaries are right, Clowney makes somewhere around $19 million now. somehow. I don't know how. But and then Ngakoue gets signed for 18 or 19 million on an extension, so you're at 36 to 40, somewhere in that range. You give up a first and a second. You trade up in the second with the Jags, so you basically lose one pick. And you get Clowney and Ngakoue, and you still got $20 million to spend in free agency.
Let's go.
I mean, that's your big play.
What's the problem? Giving up a first for a pass rusher is so frustrating when you just gave up a pass rusher for a first. Like, what are we doing? Do we have a plan here? Are we just going year by year? Well, last year, we don't need Frank Clark. We'd rather have the first. This year, we'll give up the first to get a pass rusher when we already had a pass rusher in Frank Clark.
I think they didn't trust signing Frank long-term, though. I think that was specific to him. I don't think it was about the position.
Seems to be working out fine for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it was.
So, okay. They might have misjudged.
They might have been wrong, and that's very possible. I don't think they trusted him. I certainly didn't, and I think I might have been wrong, too.
And now they're looking for a guy.
Yep.
That they could trust.
Yeah, they may have gotten that one wrong. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely possible.
And they also had to use that chip in order to trade down. They had to use that premium of a pass rusher because they were stuck. Because of other moves, they were stuck. They had four picks going into last year's draft. Schneider sat with us about a year ago, right? And they were stuck. And they had four picks because of Malik McDowell and because they had to trade for Dwayne Brown. They were just in a stuck spot last year.
Yeah, they didn't have four picks in a vacuum.
Nope.
No, but
they
that's
had
where,
because of their own
absolutely.
Failures.
That's right.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yes. And now you find yourself out of that. You've gotten out of that hole. You had to give up Frank Clark in order to do it, but you found yourself out of that hole. You reset. And now you can move forward. And if you want to go and get Ngakoue to go with Clowney, I'm into that. If you want to get one of those other guys or two of them to go, I mean, you know me, Brock. I like the idea of Clowney plus Fowler plus
Okay, so in an
Beasley.
Ideal. Like, okay, so you're a consultant. You get flown in, like all these draft consultants, right? All these guys and former GMs and scouts and everything else that work in all these different organizations because consultants is the wave of the future. And I think with this virus, everybody's basically a consultant at home working now, right? So you're a consultant that gets invited in.
I don't get flown in, though.
No, you get to drive.
I'm on Microsoft Teams.
It's a teleconference.
We telecommute into this, Brock. I just do a video
chat. All right,
so
what do you want to do? Do you want volume, Salk? You know, in this
way, I want that in between.
You want us to spend. What do you want to do?
I want in
because
between.
To me, the premium, right? The premium most expensive. Here you go. Here's your biggest chance of two superstars is going to be Ngakoue and Clowney. Or... do you want one of those superstars and more volume and get two or three or two of these other veteran
pass rushers?
Well, hold
on. It depends how you characterize the volume. I'm great with getting two superstars, but I'm also great with getting one superstar and two other very good players. I'm not okay with signing one of them and then finding trash. Like, I'm not going to go garbage eating like Howdy. Seriously.
Right.
So it depends what you can't tell me Vic Beasley doesn't play hard. Okay, fine. Maybe he's not the guy. But what I want is either two proven stars, one on each side, who can get after the quarterback together, and then the third guy in can be the Rasheem Green or whoever else you're able to find. Maybe somebody develops along the way or whatever. Or I want one superstar and two borderline stars, right? Two guys that are good. Kind of creating what you did with Bennett and Averill and Clemens and Irvin and all those guys getting after the passer.
Okay,
together.
Here's door number one. Here's door number two. Okay. All right. Here's door number one. I'm going to just keep it simple in waves. First wave, second wave, third wave. Right. We know what first wave is. Those deals are done before the league year begins. The tampering over this upcoming weekend. We're going to hear leaked, contract.
I want
contract.
One first wave, 2 second.
Okay. So here's your two doors. You get two first waivers. All right, which is going to be Clowney and Ngakoue. You get two first waivers. You get no second wave, but then you can fill in with four third waves. All right, you can fill in with four other $2 million guys, $3 million guys,
four third waivers. Offensive lineman and that type of stuff.
Yes, four third waivers. Okay. Or you get one first wave, you get three second wave, and you get two third waves.
I'm good with that.
So six overall guys in free agency. You want two at the very top and then fill in that third wave with four other guys, or we'll go one there. And then I'm going to get two or three second waves and two or three third waves.
I'm honestly fine with both of those options. I think they're both good because what we've seen in the past is zero first waivers, maybe one second waiver, and like nine third waivers and guys that are like, limping around at the end of the year. Be careful what we're saying because I think people will think like, oh, yeah, they've done second wave every year. No, they've done third and fourth wave every year.
They're getting Eddie Lacy when no team is going to look at that guy.
They're getting Luke Jokel off the scrap heap. Those guys were at the – they're getting Ziggy Ansah, who's getting outrun by 45-year-old injured
Lacy?
Josh McCown.
You want Lacy or you want Collins right now? What you want? Alex Collins, Eddie Lacy? Who you want?
Yeah, both. I still want Alex Collins.
Is Eddie Lacy right now? Would we recognize him if he walked through the door?
You think he could walk through the door? Come on. That's kind of like doors.
Sideways?
We don't have French doors. Come on. I'm fine with either of those answers. Which do you want?
I don't think you can sign both those guys. I don't think that's realistic. I think you're going to be one first waiver. I think you got to get a couple good targeted second waivers that want to be here. Okay, like a Bennett, like an Averill. Those were second wave guys.
But not third wave guys.
No.
Those were second wave.
Third waivers got some issue.
That's
third
Luke Jokel and Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, got torn knees, got weight issues, got broken shoulders.
And the second waivers are the guys we were talking about the other day, right?
Yes.
Guys we were talking about last week.
Yes, that would be an Irvin. That'd be, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul. That'd be, you know, one of these other offensive linemen more than likely. Yeah, yeah. And it'll be fascinating, too, to see which of your own, by the way. Is Jermaine Ifedi really going to be a first waiver to somebody? Probably.
God love him.
Probably. God bless him.
I hope he does. So. Good for him.
Yep. Yeah, I think I probably lean a little bit more just because of my risk tolerance always. I lean a little bit more on making sure you absolutely have to get one of those first wave guys and then make sure you're still attacking it with, you know, a guy or two that Russell thinks can be a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, you bet. I think you also, we started this with Russell getting on the phone and his different voices that he's going to use to call guys, and he's going to be the salesman. Well, I also am going to make sure if I'm Peter John that I'm talking to Russ through this. I think Russ is a different phase of his career, too, and making sure you're engaged. What do you think, Russ? You're around these guys. You're around them at the Pro Bowl. You're around this. You know this league. You've competed against these guys. So I'd make sure that your quarterback also feels like, hey, man, this isn't just scrap heap, that this guy can be a superstar in our building because that quarterback wants him, and I want to make that QB happen.
We'll find out Monday. I mean, you know, this thing gets going with the legal tampering period starting on Monday. I would expect the Seahawks to be involved in at least one name early, and I really want that to be the case. If it ends up being two, I'm not going to complain, by the way. If it ends up, they do end up with a Clowney and Ngakoue, were you going to be mad? I'm not going to be mad. I agree with you. I don't know that it's the best.
No, but you're going to say, but you are going to clearly
there's
say
some risk.
They're all in.
Absolutely.
Like, there is no way if they make that move for those two guys and they make that trade and they pay those guys that much on their cap space, they're
going
for it.
I'm into that. I'm totally into that idea if that's where they decide to go. I won't criticize for a second. Now, if they don't, and if I will wait and see, but I won't wait long. I'm not going to be sitting here waiting until the third wave of free agency going, oh, it's fine. It's totally fine. They're not overspending their credit card.
And you know what? We talk about Russ being in the prime.
Not going to be there.
We talk about Russ being in the prime for Coach Carroll. If I'm Coach Carroll at this stage of my career.
How much time you got left?
Let's go.
Right.
Let's make this thing happen.
Funny how those conversations disappeared a couple of years ago. Remember when you were hearing everywhere we went?
Yep.
We were talking to, you know, national people doing it. You'd be like, well, Pete's going to be out. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Pete's not going to be out. Yeah, Pete isn't down.
Nope.
So, hey, let's welcome our first sponsor, Brock. We have our first sponsor for the podcast. It is the Ascend Hospitality Group. Want to thank them for jumping on board first here. And they got a bunch of different places around. They got Famous Dave's Barbecue, which I'll talk about more here in a second. They've got the Lincoln South Food Hall, which is crazy. Have you been through there?
Yeah.
It's
a lot.
Really, really good. They have a ton of good food in there. And then they got Stanford's in Northgate. Stanford's is good. And then they've got the Prime Jewel. They've got Ascend Prime in Bellevue, which is, it's hard to even describe. I mean, it's like,
it's like a movie set.
It is kind of like a movie. It's like somewhere the guys from Ocean's 11 would be or something, right? Like, it is just this crazy, beautiful view of the entire region, 360-degree view with some of the best food I've ever had. Just a ridiculous steakhouse. So thank you to everybody at Ascend Hospitality Group. We'll talk more about Ascend Prime at some point. And sounds like we're going to have a couple of events, I think one there before the draft. So we'll have some information coming out on
that. Only the essentials.
Only the essentials. But Famous Dave's Barbecue is here with us. They've won over 700 awards around and across the country. They got ribs and chopped pork and beef brisket, chicken, salmon, catfish, shrimp. If you have to choose two of those items right now, what are you doing?
Right now?
Ribs, chopped pork, beef brisket, chicken, salmon, catfish, shrimp. Choose two.
Shrimp and brisket for me. Give me shrimp and brisket.
All day. I'm with Brock.
Can't lose on
I
shrimp.
Think you're missing
those
out
are
on
two
ribs.
First waivers.
You're missing
right
out
there.
On
shrimp
ribs.
And brisket
you're not,
are two first
you're,
waivers.
You're sleeping on ribs. I think I go ribs and brisket.
Can't get my teeth right now.
Maybe ribs and chop pork. I think I go ribs and brisket. Anyway, treat your guests to America's favorite barbecue, sustainably sourced meats smoked in house. alongside classic sides. All right, you're another choice. You ready? You get one. Famous cornbread muffins, homestyle desserts. Do you want muffins or do you want desserts? Howdy, what are you taking?
Desserts.
I thought Howdy was going to go both. Perfect for events coming up like Father's Day, graduations, holidays, business meetings, and more. Famous Dave's or famousdaves.com. All right, Brock, I've got a series of questions for you. Are you ready?
I am.
We can go through these. Howdy, you're allowed to participate in some of these.
Oh, it turns out I am a little essential after all.
I didn't say you were essential to participate.
Oh, it turns out this segment really can't happen without
me. I just allowed you to if you want to. All right, here we go. Some questions to answer together. Most of them start the same way. If you were in the NFLPA, what would you be urging your team representative to do right now?
Mm.
If you were in the Players Association, if you still played, what would you be urging your team rep to do? And I think this is a great opportunity for us to remind everybody that after how long have we been working together? Nearly 11 years here?
Yeah.
After 11 years, I finally brought Brock over and made him a liberal. Mm. And I didn't know that it would, I didn't know this would be the issue to do it.
Yeah.
But I saw you tweeting last week. We never got time for it in last week's podcast. We ran out of time.
Yes.
In a podcast. But you've sort of become a liberal.
Well, I think that tweet was poo-pooing Russell. I was like, be very careful, Russell, comparing your circumstance to others around you, and be even more careful about comparing football to baseball in the NBA, which he tried to do.
Seemed like you were upset about all of the guys at the top making most of the money.
I hope those guys that are running their mouth at the top are informed. So that's what I would want my NFL, to answer your question. What do I want my NFLPA rep to do? I want that guy to be unbelievably informed. All right. We selected you. And many times in those cases, like in our locker rooms back in the day of 50 some guys, I believe Pete Kendall was one of our reps. Like, you want your bright guy that's engaged in it, that wants to pursue this. You want him in that room. And you want Richard Sherman, who's a bright guy that's engaged. You want him in that room. And so you elect those guys. And most of the time, I don't think we ever had an issue in Indy and Seattle.
You never did it?
Oh, I never did it.
How come?
Well,
it seems like something you would have wanted to do. What do you mean,
I mean, you've got to play, right? It's kind of like being a captain of a team. Not necessarily, but most of those guys are players. Most of those guys are pretty good starters.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Nate Solder and Richard Sherman. And I'd be curious to look at the list of the 32 guys.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
It's mostly because those guys need to be sure they're on the team all year, because you don't want to make those changes.
Yes.
True.
That happened
to the Mariners a couple of years, like twice. Their player rep got cut or traded.
And I never had that security, right? Yeah. Matt Hasselbeck I think. So you've got to be around. You've got to be.
It's too bad. You would have been good at it.
I enjoyed that. Now, I didn't necessarily enjoy when the reps came and some of the back and forth and some of the ludicrous conversations we had, right, about 401k and guys yelling like, I'm not giving my money to four, like, guys, it's just trying to educate, and some of that is a difficult process. Right, it is. So what would I want? I would want that guy to be so informed. And that was my biggest challenge.
By the way, that might be easier now than it was when you were playing.
There's no question.
You've been gone long enough now that I would bet with all of the educational work they've done that is an easier sell now than it was.
Well, guys are making more money now than they ever did.
Right.
Okay. So they can go send that 400-page document to their agent or their attorney, as some of these guys have.
Eric Reed just did this to safety, and it revealed even new things that I didn't understand in the first place. For instance, even I didn't understand.
As informed as you are.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
One of the things that's now come out is that if you get injured on the field, like a life-changing injury, under the past CBA, you'd be given $250,000 a year for life. That was the deal. That now moves to $48,000 per life. No one even knew that was a clause in that until like 2 days ago. Like, this is the kind of stuff, to your point, Brock, to get informed. Let's know the real stuff that's going on and the real changes that come out of this.
Yeah, so that's what I would want.
And if I were the players, that's the type of thing that I would want to make so sure of. Like, that would be the type of thing I'd be fighting for.
Yes.
To answer some of this question, if I were on a team, I would be looking for those long-term guarantees and safety precautions, not necessarily on the field, but afterwards, to make sure that everybody is compensated fairly for the work they do. The other thing is, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, and I'm just speaking as a fan, but I would be looking to give back some of the concessions that were made in terms of practice time.
Yeah.
Make the league better. Have normal practice schedules and allow, especially...
Well, that's not happening. And
I know it's not. They're looking to go the other way.
Correct.
Correct.
Awful.
Even less time.
So ridiculous.
Can't believe how hard they're making us work in the off season. Oh my gosh, we got to go in there having February off and March off and April.
We'll eventually
off
not
enough.
Have practice, right?
And having 10 work days the entire off season. Oh, how dare they? Yeah, they're in their own little bubble. And I would hope that, you know, through being informed and a bit opinionated of those that are informed, can puncture that bubble a little bit. Mm. So for me, with Russell and why I disagree with him, Russ, are you in those meetings? Russ, are you engaged? Russ, are you on the inside? Because it's very easy to look at the NBA and the Major League Baseball model. You're not either of them. Your scale is much larger than that. The violence in your game is much different than that. There's 25 guys on a baseball team and 15 on a football, on a basketball team. There's 53, and now there's going to be an expanded practice squad upwards of 60-some guys. It's a different scale and a different model. So that was where
some of my beyond all that, it's not like basketball where one guy can carry a whole team and you can have these sort of different classes. I would say in football, they need to do a better job of compensating the guys near the bottom who aren't in the league for very long.
And that's what this deal does.
Instead of just the guys
at the
top.
And that is what this deal does. An extra $100K right away, league minimum for those rookies that walk in the door. That's going
to
speak.
To see you finally embracing that side of it, Brock. I appreciate that. Now I'm just bringing it to politics. All right. Another question. If you were Russell Wilson, what would you be saying behind the scenes this offseason? What would you be saying? What would you be doing? What would you be saying to Pete and John? What would you be saying to other free agents? What would you be saying if you were Russell Wilson?
I would be on my phone more than ever with John and Pete because of what we talked about in that last segment, that this is my window of opportunity right now. The more than likely the three of us that have sustained for almost a decade here, right? You just look at the nature of this business. And you look at Pete's age and everything else, we got 2 or 3 years left where I'm in my absolute prime, where Pete may still have it to coach. And, you know, that would put John Schneider as a GM in one city for almost 15 years. Like, it's now time. And I better be engaged in these conversations. I better be engaged with some of these other players and superstars that I'm seeking. And do you need me to call them? Do you need me to be out there? I've got more Q rating in this league than I've ever had before. Use me. Right? That would be the conversation if I'm Russell that I would have with John and Pete and make sure that you're on that speed dial. And I'm sure he is. And those guys text an awful lot and they stay in touch. But it is at any time that you need me to reach out. And when I can do that and it's not collusion, let's make sure that I'm engaged in this.
I would say very much the same thing. And more than anything, hey guys, please, now's the time. Now is the time. Get me some of the help I need. And I would be asking for it on the defensive side so that I don't need to score every point.
You think he's asking for it?
I don't know.
And if we had Russell in here and his agent and we had like total truth serum in them and said, okay.
Do we have to have his agent in?
Come on, spill it.
Do we have to? Can't we just have Russ in without his agent?
Okay, total truth serum.
That'd be way preferable.
I don't want that guy
please,
here.
Please, we don't need Mark Rogers.
Mark Rogers.
I'm social distancing myself from Mark Rogers.
Permanently.
He did a good job for his client on both occasions. But yeah, okay, so just Russell and true serum. Russell, what do you want? What do you want? You want Clowney and Ndokwe?
I want...
Or do you want Clowney?
I want a team that can take the ball away so that I don't need to go the length of the field every time.
Do you want to hand the ball to Kenyon Drake? Do you want another wide receiver?
I want guys who can get after the quarterback. That's what I want. I can't help it.
No.
That's what
as
I want.
Russell Wilson, no. As a quarterback,
about,
no, he's not thinking about
no.
The
he should.
No.
He should be looking at his team
wrong.
And saying, when I had the most success, I didn't need to score all that
That's
many points.
Absolutely wrong. He is in the new age of, he is the quarterback of this decade now. He needs the offense of the decade, and he needs another tackle and a guard. He needs an offensive line he can trust for the first
wide
time in his career.
And a center.
Ever.
Maybe a
first time
back.
In his career. Fine. Totally in. He
Maybe
needs
I'm not capable of pretending I'm Russell Wilson. It's just too a bridge too far for me.
You know what's really interesting right. about Russell? Hold on, one last thing. I went back and looked, and I know it's been over 10 years now, and he's a totally different player, but it is fascinating for this whole let Russ cook. Do you know when Russ got to cook more than he ever has in his entire football career? Do you know when that was?
3 years ago?
Nope. Nope. Do you know when Russ really got to cook? It was the worst season he ever had as a football player. And granted, it was at NC State.
Yeah, we're NC State.
And he got to throw a lot. He got to play in the whole West Coast, and it was spread out, and it was empty, and it was his worst season as a winner loser. It was his worst season with like 15 interceptions. Go back and look at when Russ got to cook more than he ever has in his career. And then he transferred out, and you know what he did less at Wisconsin? Cook. He threw it 22 times a game, and he set at that time the college passing record and took a team to a Rose Bowl and was the captain of that team, right? I mean, it's and I know that's a long time. That's over 10 years ago, and he's a totally different person and a totally different player and everything else. But it is fascinating when he got to cook more than ever. Was it 1 year at Dana Bible at NC State? A couple years. Well, actually, his first year, he didn't cook as much. He was awesome. And then he got to cook a lot, and the head coach ran him out. Because it didn't really work, and the team didn't really work, and he threw a lot of picks. And then he went to Wisconsin, and then he went to Seattle. And I think that story's been pretty well written. And I think if you asked him, I think he would say, okay, I would love one great superstar defensive player, and I sure wouldn't mind another weapon on offense. But I don't think he would say, yeah, just give me the offensive weaponry and let me go.
Brock, if you were Jared Kelnick, first of all, how about your swing? It'd be really nice.
See the glasses? You'd see him on the top the Top Shot Golf, by the way, trying to be Mike Trout. Did you see that video?
I didn't see
it. Oh, yeah. Check that out.
How's his golf swing? Trout-like?
Yeah, not quite as strong.
God, did Trout kill that ball?
Yeah, he did.
But the Kelnick,
you couldn't even see Trout's golf ball. It totally disappeared. You could follow. Kelnick had like this power slicing.
Oh,
it
really?
Was still massive.
If you were Jared Kelnick, would you sign a major league deal right now? Similar to what they offered to Evan White, probably for more money, because I think you're considered to be a higher prospect. But would you sign a similar style deal with more money if you were Jared Kelnick?
No.
Because I think the Mariners want him to do that.
I don't think I
And
would.
I'll go one further. I think if he were to sign it, I think he'd start the year in the major leagues.
Oof.
So that's ahead of you. I'm going to make you this offer, Brock. I'm going to give you more money than they gave Evan White. You sign right now today, so we get, 6 years plus a couple of option years at the end. So we're going to control for, the first 9 years of your career.
Yeah, I can't do that.
And you're going to start this year in the major leagues. You don't have to go to the minors. You don't have to ride on buses. You don't have to do any of that. Yeah. And you're going to get paid. How much does White have? $26 million guaranteed? Something like that?
Something like that.
Let's say either you're going to have $33 million guaranteed or something. I can't give you a number. I don't know exactly what
that
would
look
like.
You're going to eat up my arbitration for how many of my years?
I'm gonna,
years? 6 years, $24 million for White.
Okay.
No way.
He's going to get 50 plus. But anyways, yeah.
Let's give him 50. Okay. I'll give you 50. I'll give you 6 years, 50, and then I get a couple option years on you at the end.
But if you're not Jared Kelnick, you think you're like the next Babe Ruth.
I know, but it's only you're still going to get $50 million. You can't get more than that during the arbitration process. I mean, you're not really giving up much over the course of those 6 years. So this isn't one of those deals the way they used to do them, like the Longoria deal, where it was like, hey, we're going to pay you more for the first three, but less for the next three. It's not like that. Mm. You're going to get paid roughly what you would make over the first 6 years. You just don't get to free agency right after that for a couple of years.
I'm a no. I'm a hard no. I'm a hard pass, because more than anything, if I'm Jared Kelnick at 19 years of age and I've watched this organization struggle the way this organization has, I need to see you like Russell. Give me some superstars. You better put people around me. I want to see a team. I want to see a thriving organization. I want to see it led by John Stanton for a few years here. I want to see a commitment to winning. I want to see you. I want all of that past flushed, where it's about, where this is a business first and we're going to put people in the seats. I want it to be all about winning first.
Man.
That's been flushed out
of
here.
You got an opportunity to make $50 million guaranteed. I think you got to take it, especially when you couldn't make that much more over the next 6 years. And by the way,
but you don't know
that,
right?
You also don't know
what the new CBA is going to be.
You also don't know if you're going to make it, Brock, to the bigs this year otherwise. So you may lose an entire year of making nothing when you could be making that kind of cash.
But he's a first-round pick that made a million plus.
But he's not making the kind of money that you would be in that case. I don't know. I think you absolutely have to consider it. And
I'm just telling you, if I'm Kelnick, I say no. I need to see if I'm that secure in myself as he says he is, then, and appears to be, then I say, okay, organization, let's see what you got. Let's see, whether or not this is a place that my career can actually flourish and can actually thrive. And I can actually pay it off, and not only the tens of millions on the field, but I become the face. How do I become the face of Major League Baseball? Can I do that in a moribund program? No. Like, we've got to at least win to a degree, and you got to be committed to winning, and I got to see that commitment to win. So if I'm Kelnick,
so you wait and see what they do next offseason and what they spend at the winter meetings before you make that decision.
And can Kyle Lewis play, and can Evan White play, and can Logan Gilbert play, and these guys that you've kind of hedged your bet on, some of these teammates around me, can these guys all play? And if they can all play, then I feel a little bit better about that a year from now, and I could maybe do that deal a year from now rather than right now. But no, I don't think I could do that
right now. If you were in the government, if you were an elected official, how fast would you vote to make daylight saving time permanent?
We already did, right?
Yep.
We already passed it. We're just waiting on a federal approval.
I couldn't vote for this fast enough.
Did it bother you this week? You felt it?
I don't care so much about that. I mean, yes, it's annoying having to change the clocks forward and back, so I would prefer not to have to do that. But I just like it to. It's going to be light after. Sunset will be after 7 o'clock every day in Seattle now until September.
Oh, so great.
It is worlds better. Why do we ever go the other way? Doesn't make sense. Isn't this just preferable for everyone to always be on daylight saving time?
Yeah, that's why we voted for it. We got
to
do it.
Kyle? I'd like to vote for it again.
What do you think,
Kyle? Revote.
I'd like to vote again.
Let's
today is election day.
We're going
to
double down
I
on
daylight I sent in my
saving.
Ballot, and I would like to vote again on this, even
I feel
though
like
I
Kyle's
have.
Got the most sense on this.
The,
I don't
the
know
hard
You've
part's
going to
be
this.
Driving in 8:30 in the morning in December.
Don't care.
Pitch black. And be like, we're in Anchorage, Alaska.
Fine.
But
you'll be
I'm
driving
with,
home
I'm
at 3:30.
Yesterday,
4
I walked out of the store.
Light.
It was like 6 p.m. I got totally thrown off of what time it was. I thought it must be like 5
Great.
O'clock. Like, wait, oh my gosh, it's 6 o'clock. It's still light out.
I went for a run at 5 o'clock yesterday. It was bright sunshine. It was amazing. It is a game changer for my mood, and I think a lot of
can we get rid
but Mike as a delayed gratification guy
I do like that
like don't you want to go through the hard times in
it's,
order to get to that day
it's hard enough
can we get rid of the
it doesn't need to be any harder.
I have enough challenges in my life
can we get rid of the naked equinox riders and parade like if we do that daylight savings can we
that's
get rid
solstice,
of that whole thing
the
summer
equinox.
Solstice
whatever. They don't do that for the equinox
whatever
Come
can
on.
We get rid of it
no you gotta
no?
have that that's a bit
Still
it's
gonna
a,
have the
it's a crucial part of what we do here. If you were at Sawgrass this week, Brock, for the Players' Championship,
oh, yeah.
which of these pairings would you like to follow? They made some interesting pairings this week.
Did Spieth make a pairing?
He did. In he fact, did. He's with two of his best friends. Would you follow Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and Ricky Fowler?
No.
Really?
Too cool guy group for me.
Three guys who are like all good friends
They're
hanging
good
out
dudes,
together.
No.
That seems kind of fun to me.
Okay.
Would you like to follow the kids who all came on tour together? Mm. Colin Morikawa, Matt Wolf, and...
And by follow, you mean like
Victor Hovland?
Not like follow them on the T block. Like
no,
you're behind them,
that.
But you're actually with them, like in that group.
Yeah,
okay.
That's who you're watching. Like gotcha. As if you're just watching. Would
no,
you like,
I
you don't
know
want to see the
guys.
Three kids together?
No, only the diehards.
Right, would you
kids.
Like to see the three sweet swingers together? Adam Scott, Justin Rose, Xander Schauffele.
Mm.
Would you follow that group?
Mm.
Do you want a couple?
Who's Tiger with?
I think he pulled out.
He's not playing.
He's not playing.
Bad back.
Back. Would you like a kind of a group of old-timers, but with different personalities? Matt Kuchar and Henrik Stenson, who belong together, and Sergio Garcia, who does not.
Wow, that is some tenure in that group right there.
I
Henrik
know.
Stenson's playing
Gosh,
awful.
You know what
awful.
You
or,
you know, hold on, stop.
Would you like, last one, would you like the guys who hit bombs?
Yes.
Rory McIlroy,
yeah.
Brooks Koepka,
yes.
Yes. John
yes.
Rahm.
Yes. Okay.
We
yes.
Like
yes.
yes,
we like that.
And by the way, you've said before how much you love. Like in your lifetime, there's a few things you really love. You love the winter meetings.
I do.
You used to love the trade deadline. You would love, if you were in charge of the PGA or a part of
like,
would you ever love
making
putting these
pairings
together?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
All right. Here we go.
So giddy. A bottle of wine, some food ordered in. You're in the meeting room
Big
at a hotel.
Bag of
yeah. You got a whiteboard up there. Here we go.
That guys. Would be pretty yes. fun. Yeah. It's sort of like yeah. planning like at
your
wedding when you got to put people
yeah.
at a table
Tables.
Together.
Yep.
So you got to move thing pieces around the board and have it all make sense. Yeah, I think
time coordinator Mike Salt.
Yeah, I think I could.
Here he walks
I could get in that.
Room.
That would be quite a job.
Now driving, Bryson DeChambeau.
All right, good news, bad news, no news here in a couple minutes. Story time with Brock coming up here briefly, and I've got a story for you as well. All right, good news, bad news, no news here in a few minutes, Brock.
Oh, great tease. I love when you tease
before,
on the podcast.
Before we do that, I want people to know what's ahead.
Oh, no, I got you.
Their whole world is
smart
depending
to,
on
smart
this.
Smart to do.
You said you had some story time with everyone, you know, freaking out here over coronavirus. And actually, I found out just yesterday that Pomona canceled our reunion.
What?
Our 20th reunion. Heather and I were planning to go.
We've been planning that for 2 years.
I know. It's a whole thing, and they canceled it. We're going to go to Disney.
Grandpa Mike canceled his 70th in Vegas. We're going to take him to Vegas.
I mean, he's 70.
I know.
Like, Pomona, what are we doing?
Well,
Grandpa
hold on.
Mike?
But a lot of people at the reunion are old. It's not just our reunion. It's,
Wait,
every,
what?
It's every 5 years. It's
oh.
an alumni weekend for every the classes of 5, 10, 15, 20, et cetera.
That's a busy weekend.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of
okay.
older people
all
who
right.
would come, and people come from all over. So I guess it makes sense, but it
and
wasn't going to be until
Seattle.
May.
Well, they don't want you there. They're
no
like,
kidding.
Excuse me, the Salks were planning to participate.
No kidding.
We may need to scratch this.
Yeah, so
by the way, my story time, it's really our story time because it started in the hallway before the show when you said you played a song. For your daughter.
Well, I just thought you would appreciate that this
Did
morning.
I appreciate it?
I thought this morning you would appreciate that while Avery and especially Cecily were brushing their teeth,
yes.
in my attempts to force them to learn more, especially movie themes from the 80s, they watched Goonies recently, they've watched Back
your
to the Future.
Spot.
Top Gun is going to be on their list soon, although I don't know how to, I don't. think I can let Avery watch it without telling her what happens with Goose ahead of time. Or she'll never trust me to let her watch a movie again.
Right. I thought you were going to talk about the kissing scene. There's
I don't care about that. She sees that stuff.
I don't mind what happens to Goose.
I'm not letting her watch what happens to Goose. Not without some knowledge ahead. But they loved this song, I will say. There it is. Oh, no. Brock's dancing around the studio already. There's no videos today.
What a beat.
The only time we haven't had videos for this were the time O'Flaherty was in here and the time Brock danced to Danger Zone. Ridiculous.
I mean, I can't even speak over this.
This is the most intense toothbrushing ever.
So here's what we're going to do.
Canines brushed.
You're going to wash your hands for at least 20 seconds, the first 30 seconds of this song, and then you're going to brush your teeth for the final 2 minutes.
2 minutes. You got to go 2 minutes on the teeth, so... This was that's how we did it this morning.
Right. 40 seconds.
You were in the league for Y2K?
Oh, was I in the league for Y2K?
Was that similar? Well,
absolutely the same panic and fear, yes. By the way, Danger Zone, I think one of the three most listened to songs in my life. Probably with Thunderstruck and either Enter Sandman or Welcome to the Jungle.
One of those two,
yeah. That
Piao Pai weight room.
Yes.
I feel like I was there with you.
Yes. So Y2K, I think I've told this story before, but this kind of fear right now that everyone is walking around with, it was exactly what it was in 1999 and 2000, December of that year, and we had a trip with the Seahawks to the Big Apple. We were flying across the country. When the clocks turned,
you're in the air.
We were in the air, and the amount of fear and panic, it was fascinating. Some dudes were just like, "Hey, man, if I'm out, I'm out." Merton Hanks came on that flight. Yes. I think wearing like $450,000
all around his neck.
I mean, his jewelry,
giant.
His fur coat.
You spent Y2K with Merton Hanks.
His Rolex. Awesome.
Once everything worked and the plane kept going, did he do his thing up and down the aisle of the plane with his head,
his neck, his giraffe neck?
Yeah, I don't think he could. I think he had so much gold on. I don't think he could. I think it weighed him down.
It's nice. Like a neck collar.
We had a guy that had bought gold and buried it. We had another guy that was like that bought like land in North Dakota to build out his bunker. Like it was
wow,
it was real
serious.
Yeah, the fear was real, and some of just this hysteria that you're sensing right now. And again, you know, I think we all got to be very careful to judge everybody's medical conditions. So therein, it's a little bit different because this wasn't a medical deal. This was just the world's going to end. Hmm. This is all the computers on those airplanes. They're not built for this.
Salk's computer did stop working.
True. True story. My computer was a casualty of Y2K. I had bought when I first got to college, I needed a laptop, and I bought a used laptop from somebody else who was a year older, and it had Windows 3.1. It's the one before Windows 95. Okay. It had a rollerball mouse on it, and I left it at school. That was my senior year over break. When I came back, never worked again. It died of Y2K.
Yes.
It's the only victim, as far as I know. Of Y2K.
But the plane still flew. We got there. Everything survived. And yeah, I do remember that for a lot of those guys, though, I mean, it was very real. This guy had land and was building a bunker that, yeah, you know what? When this thing ends, awesome. I'm gonna be okay.
That guy was Todd Herman. sorry, we work with Todd. He's a bunker guy. It's just how he is.
Yes.
So I went... Can I tell you a quick story?
How's your skating going, by the way?
Oh, I skated on Sunday.
Better?
Working hard at the reverse, the backwards crossover.
I saw your tweet with your skates.
So challenging.
Skates look good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I got them baked, so they fit better now.
Do you feel, you got them what?
Baked. You heat them up, and then you sit in a, you put your feet in them, so you like kind of mold around
you. Dude,
that's
like snow
like a
boots
mouth
or ski boots.
You bake them yourself?
No, a guy helped me.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't trust myself with an oven. Skates, probably injured myself.
Preheat the oven to 400.
Turn the microwave on. Put these in here.
I had the guy at the shop help me with that.
Okay, good.
Are you kidding me?
All right, sorry.
I helped myself. All right. No, it went well. It was good.
Was Sunday?
That was Sunday,
and
yes.
Saturday you met a hero.
Well, Friday night.
Friday night.
Well, I think he's here. I'm not sure how to describe. I'm going to tell you the quick story, and tell me what you think this guy's teammates think of him. So Heather and I went to the symphony on Friday night. There was nobody there, by the way.
Lovely.
In case you were wondering, there was nobody there, less than half full, because all the old people who normally go to it were staying home.
You scoot to a better
seat? No, we actually had decent seats. Oh, it was cheap. It was a whole like wine tasting event. It was fun.
Nice.
Anyway.
At the symphony.
So the conductor comes out. long hair, right? He's not the normal conductor. I don't know who this guy is. But
well,
he
he's social
out.
Distancing the normal.
Well, he comes out and he goes into his little conductor box and he conducts the first piece, which is fine. He's very animated guy, like a lot of kind of head movements and his body's moving to the whole thing, but he conducts the first piece.
Like Tom Curley? I mean,
like John
Tom
Curley?
Tangney?
No, I combined the two of them.
There you go. Oh, okay. Anyway, that's not the part of the story. Second piece. He walks off. He comes back out for the second piece, but now he has a violin with him. And now
what,
he plays.
The conductor?
Never seen this. Now he plays the violin with the orchestra for the second piece. But he's just like one of the guys. He's just playing. And I don't know. Right now they're split in half because I think half the orchestra goes to the opera. So it's a smaller group. So I don't know. Maybe they need another violin. Like, okay, I've never seen it, but it was cool. Third piece. Last one before intermission. He now becomes the violin soloist.
Oh, come
and
on.
Solos Whoa. For the entire piece. And it's like a really complicated, fast-paced, like challenging solo. But he's now playing first chair violin and soloing for almost the entirety of the third piece. Okay.
Wow.
Big cheers. Everybody's very impressed by him.
That's what he intended. He wanted the
and
spotlight.
I'm a little curious about how his teammates feel about him at that point. But okay. Have the intermission. I'll tell you another quick story about what happened there because we almost saw a fight and
sweet.
At the symphony. And then they come back out, and now there's a chorus to sing the as part of the final big piece. So the chorus is in the back, and they sing, and a German guy comes out to solo in German with a kind of a tenor voice, and he's singing. It's Johann Sebastian Bach. He's singing this beautiful piece. And the conductor turns around and starts singing a duet with him.
What?
And he's got this crazy falsetto voice.
Come on.
Either this guy is like Jose Oquindo on steroids, like he's the greatest utility man of all time, and everyone in the orchestra is incredibly impressed that they're in the presence of genius,
yeah,
that they
I
get to work
it.
With this guy, or he's the biggest hero of all time, and everyone rolls their eyes every time he tries to do anything. Mm. What do you think?
Well, what was his skill level?
He was excellent at all of the things he did.
I don't like love that. This guy. Oh, he is the best.
With his magnificent long hair.
It sounds like he's an essential of essentials.
Yes.
He's very essential. He's the whole darn orchestra at
That's
this
right.
point.
Yep.
I've never seen anything quite like that. I was kind of annoyed by
you're
him.
You're going to learn about this guy.
Much.
In 3 years, you're going to see this guy. He's going to be on TV. He's going to be so good.
All the opera symphony you've
much.
Seen, have you ever seen anything
I've never
like
seen
that?
Anything like it in my life.
So at the end of one
Kyle,
of the-
all that opera and symphony you've seen, have you seen anything
And then Manuel Miranda, take a back seat, brother.
At the end of the second piece, it's quiet for a moment. Some guy up in the balcony in one of the boxes yells out, "Hey, you need to get off your cell phone in the middle of the piece." All right. No one was on their cell phone. Didn't hear anything. Didn't hear a ring.
Heroes
nothing like that.
Right.
So quiet for a second. Everyone's looking around. I'm like, what the heck? And some guy in the back goes, "Yeah, thanks, Dad." So this guy now sits back kind of embarrassed and goes, "Well, you know, if you have the rules, I wouldn't have to act like a dad." I thought people were going to throw down. Why don't you come up to my box and make me? Can you imagine people hitting each other with clarinets? And I don't know. I was excited. I thought things were going to get rough. So
symphony.
What do you think you're going to have to watch Felix like shove this year? Is it going to be embarrassing
for the month of April? His first tour around the NL. He's going to mow through.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Is it going to be super embarrassing for all of us?
No, not at all.
I'm going to be
our evaluation of him last year was still 100% spot on. No, there's no embarrassment whatsoever.
Are you going to be rooting for him to fail?
Yes, always.
Always.
Of course.
As I have been for 5 years.
Not even a little bit.
I was just curious, in your older age, now that you're 40-something,
are you?
And you're at the symphony and opera and everything else,
are
maybe
you?
You've softened a little bit. Am I going to root for him to have success? No, I can't say
you
that.
Can't
I
do
can't
that.
Say that. It'd
it would be so aggravating.
It would
because
be
this
tough.
One isn't even entirely the Mariners' fault. I mean, they have to pay the guy, and then he decides to just shut it down on them for years. That would be incredibly frustrating.
I don't know if I'm
I don't
rooting,
think it's going to happen, though.
I don't know if I'm rooting against him.
I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
I'll absolutely be rooting for him because if he goes out and proves that he can do that, it's just like the Mike Hopkins situation. They go out and prove they can play basketball now. Somehow along the way, you didn't figure out how to do this. You did not figure out how to fix Felix or figure out Felix.
I don't know that you could. I don't know that you could.
Well, then you should have traded him.
Well, I agree with that.
This is the point of the whole essence of the thing. The Mariners are on the hook for this if Felix goes out and does well, no matter what.
Or this is a tremendous story of human nature. For the first time in a decade, his back is against the wall. For the first time, he doesn't have $26 million coming into his bank account. that he's, what, on a league minimum, a minor league deal, and can make $1 million?
I thought that last year would have been a clue, though. I mean, he knew this was coming, and he wasn't able to do much then either. I don't think it'll happen. I think what you're seeing, because he's played pretty well at spring training, I think you're seeing a guy in Florida for the first time instead of Arizona. I think you're seeing the ball a little heavier, the air's a little heavier there instead of the light desert air. And I think that Atlanta will be an aid to him a little bit as well, but as we'll go into the National League. So he may improve from where he was last year, even if he has the same stuff. Yep. But we've seen him. I mean, I don't think he has the ability anymore.
I heard he spent the whole offseason with Freddie Garcia.
Did you hear that?
You mean Iron Glenn?
does spending the offseason with Freddie Garcia help?
Well, Freddie reinvented himself a few different times late in his career.
Yeah, and maybe he does. Look, I mean, it's certainly possible.
Actually, I didn't hear that, but I thought it was a good story.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's just a podcast. You don't need to be accurate.
Just try it on for size. Move on.
It kind of felt good when it came out of my mouth.
It's just a podcast. You can pretty
felt
much
good
say,
off the lips.
You can say whatever
you guys
you
all sat there, son, for a second. I'm like, is that the right name? Freddie Garcia, the right name? It has to be the right name. It's Venezuelan Pier.
What?
Yeah, whatever.
What are you talking
about?
Good
news, bad news, no news.
Good news. Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
UW swept the Arizona schools to nearly double their conference win total. Mm. And now they match up with Arizona win.
No news.
Good news.
No news.
Oh, it's good news.
No, it is not. It does not qualify as good news. It is no news. You have the UW basketball team has assured itself that this is not news.
It assured itself of its placement as the best last place team in America, as Bill Walton said. And I think it gives them a little juice and a little bounce as they head to Vegas this week. And by the way, they never came home. So I don't know if I'm betting for them to win the tournament as they went from Arizona to Vegas. And even Molly, when she heard that, it's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. But anyhow, and then Quade Green's going to play on Saturday in the championship. He could be eligible to play on Saturday.
Brock, are they going to run the table and go to the dancer?
They could. Like, I asked Curtis Brock's question yesterday, and he was like, it could happen. He thinks they get beat by Oregon.
I think they lose to Arizona Wednesday.
Yes. They just want to go
home. Therefore, no news.
They just want to leave.
Next.
No news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Seahawks are sending scouts to Houston's XFL team to scout quarterback P.J. Walker.
Good news. Good news. That guy should be the backup of Russell. So he's a little quarterback. I know you haven't watched a ton of it.
I was asking whether the XFL was still going. It's still going?
Oh, yeah. It's still going. It's going. Still going strong. Its ratings are just fine. Just because they've gone to cable network and it's taken a huge dip. Don't believe all the headlines. And the attendance is still good. And by the way, when I'm going to be in St. Louis for the LA team going there in 2 weeks, they think there could be 60,000 people filling that stadium. With extra security.
Cool.
A wild scene. P.J. Walker should absolutely be in the Seahawk camp. After I think Houston wins this title, they're 5-0 right now. The guy was a winner at Temple. He's been on a practice squad before. I think he throws it better than Geno Smith. Give me PJ as the backup to Russell Wilson going into next year, and that will be good news. Folks got no opinion. Next.
I haven't seen him play. Sure. Sounds good to me. Good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson, and Russell Okung, who is, by the way, suing the NFLPA, are the loudest voices of dissent against the CBA.
Well, the good news here is that Brock typed out this question on his phone, so it actually says that they're siring something. So I was concerned that Russell thought Russell Okung was some sort of horse who was out there siring a mare or whatever. But
stud.
Brock loves to type everything in his phone, and then you just get a lot of these weird autocorrects, like sire instead of R or whatever
it is. He's suing the National Labor Board.
Got
or whatever.
It.
Yeah.
So he's not siring anybody, which is good to hear.
Russ Okung not happening.
I mean, look, there was a. I think this is good news. Those are the guys I want in charge of. Those are all smart dudes who there's a. What they had here in Seattle, and G talks about this all the time, in that locker room and the way they would hang out together and talk about real serious issues, this is what they were preparing for. It was a bunch of smart dudes sitting together, getting ready to talk about the world, and now they're in positions of power.
I'm not surprised
that they're all playing major roles in this.
This is good news for Pete Carroll, because speaking of your hero conductor, that was Pete. That's a locker room that he fostered. That's the environment that he wanted. He wanted an open locker room where guys were willing to discuss and put their opinions forward. Does not surprise me at all that some of the loudest people, the loudest voices against this deal all had some attachment to that locker room, to Pete Carroll, to the way that he built those players up to be very strong of opinion, and that's absolutely what you're hearing.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Mariners are 4-12 in Cactus League play.
No news?
We're not going to
start looking at Cactus League play, are we? They pitched, see Taijuan Walker throw pretty well the other night. It was pretty nice to see. And Justin Dunn has pitched well. I don't know. I'm not going to make
Sheffield's
too much out of
been looking good.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens when they come up here. No news in terms of their record. But
Shed Long hitting a buck 40.
Well, last year he hit like 900, and it's not 90. Like it translated immediately. So,
yeah.
No news.
No news for now on any of that.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Athlon ranks the WSU and UW football hires both top five in the nation.
Has Rolovich, what, number two and Jimmy Lake number five?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how many hires were there?
There are 26.
Oh, okay.
26 hires.
Five out of six.
No. There are 26 hires, I believe. 25
I mean,
new
it
hires.
It is interesting that Rolovich is considered to be a better hire than Jimmy Lake.
That is not a
good sign if you're the University of Washington.
He's done. And you know what? To be fair.
Not a good sign.
Bad news for Huskies.
I would probably put that there, too. He's done it twice before at lesser programs. He's done more with less at Nevada. He did more with less at Hawaii.
And what
he's
shown
before.
So far in the beginning. I mean, he's
awesome
just
job
like,
so far.
Coached a down yet, and he's already my favorite head coach around.
Built a lot of goodwill. Good news for the Cougs. Good news for Pat Chun.
Bad news for the Huskies. All right, that is going to do it for us. We are done for the day. We will be back in a week.
Oh, we're going to have a lot to talk about this time next week.
We'll have free agency underway, so we'll get a chance to see what is going on. Thanks again to Famous Dave's and everybody at the Ascend group, a hospitality group. We appreciate them. We'll catch you guys next week. Until then, hey.
Barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!